The church say praise the Lord. You say hallelujah. Give God a clap offering of praise tonight. He alone is worthy. Praise God. My, oh my, after all those songs tonight, what can wash away my sin? Jesus signed my pardon. I stay in the maze in the presence. Yes, I know. Jesus shed his blood. Oh, victory in Jesus. I told Deborah back there, Dave, I said, I have not heard so many blood songs in one evening in all my life. What a glory tonight. We have victory in Jesus. Do you have victory tonight in Jesus? Give a wave offering if you do. Hallelujah. And I pray that if you don't, that tonight you will experience that victory in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great, great blessing to be able to come and to worship the Lord here tonight. Let me calm down a little bit so Kyle can get a reading on my vocal back there. We're not here to burden, we're here to bless. And we want it to be that way. And by the way, just what an affirmations today that God has given along the way for the message tonight. Maybe there's one soul tonight. You know, they talked about being free from the bondages of sin and walking in truth and righteousness and being unshackled from the heavy burdens. If you're here tonight and there's a heavy burden on your heart, Jesus Christ is the one. He's the one that sets us free from the burden of sin. And I'm so glad tonight for victory in the Lord Jesus Christ and for his power from the cross that he shed his blood for you and for me. You know, every one of us tonight, if we're walking by faith this evening, we're here by the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Philippians 3, he said, I've not yet attained, neither am I already, I'm not perfect. But he said, I keep grasping, I keep reaching. In fact, he said, I've not apprehended, but I'm still trying to apprehend that for which God has apprehended me for. Isn't that something? And that includes me here this evening. And as we think about our walk of life and the things that we're going through and things that we experience, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, let him that thinketh he stand, taketh heed, take heed lest he fall. It wouldn't be for the grace of God. There's none of us that would make it. It's only by his grace and by his mercy and by his power that we can be here this evening. And tonight, I'll have you just turn in the scriptures this evening, if you will, to the passage in Psalm 103 this evening. I'd like to read that passage because it was such an affirmation in the scriptures. And I read that passage today. It was such an affirmation in what God was laying. Now, we don't have that on the PowerPoint here tonight, but I'd like to read that here this evening. And an affirmation of things they sang about. And when they were singing these songs, I was like, oh, glory. The message that is in the songs that go right along with this scripture here tonight. And let me just preface it by saying this evening. How many of you were not here last night? Let me just see your hands. Okay, thank you. Last night it was on talking about the fear of God and the fear of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but they that trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe. How many want to be safe? We all want to be safe. But he said there's a trap. People are caught in the fear of man. And then we went also to a number of other scriptures. The fearful. Revelation 21, verse 8. It says the fearful have their place in the lake of fire. The fearful, those that are not willing to step out by faith, but fear has caught them in a trap. Today I was sharing my daughter Carolyn, and I guess you'd say she has a prophetic gift, prophetess, and she was saying to me, and she related to me and said, Dad, you know, there's an epidemic in the nation today of fear gripping the hearts of people, and even of suicide. It's higher than it's ever been in the past 40, 50 years of the history of this nation. And she was sharing with me, and she said, you know, it's fear of the past, fear of failure, fear of the future, hopelessness, depression, lies and strongholds of the enemy that are in people's lives. And I'd like to share about that because maybe there's someone tonight that you're caught in the trap of the fear of man or hopelessness here this evening. I'm glad the song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than what? And his what? Righteousness. His righteousness. It's all in Jesus Christ and his shed blood for you and for me at the cross. But in Psalm 103, I'd like to just read along with me, if you will, on the scripture here tonight. This was such an affirmation. It's part of my scripture reading today. And Dave, when I was reading this today in Psalm 103, I was sitting out here behind this little shed over here, and I was reading, and I'm just like, oh, glory to Jesus. This is going right along with what God was laying on my heart in sharing here this evening. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgetting all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And by the way, there was some word spoken earlier here today in our prayer meeting, that there's people here that need the touch of physical healing. The other day, last week, I had a migraine, and I was sidelined, and they began to pray for me, and within about the next 10 minutes, the Lord removed that migraine. There's been healings that have taken place here, and just last night, somebody else was healed right up front in the service. I give glory to God this evening. He's the healer. He's the healer. He's the great healer. But he says, healeth all thy diseases. And so we brought some oil, and we said, you know, if there's somebody tonight that... And maybe there's some in the house too tonight that God has given the gift of healing to them. And you have the hands of healing. God has blessed you with that gift of healing tonight. But think about it. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying God is speaking to your heart. It's not only emotional and healing and emotional or anxiety or whatever the other healings are that God wants to heal us. In fact, Jesus said in Isaiah 61, he's come to heal the brokenhearted. Come to set the captives free, loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burden, let the oppressed go free. He's come to make beauty out of the ashes of sin, the oil of joy where there's sorrow and grief and weeping. He says, putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the planting of the trees of righteousness, that God may be what? Glorified. That God may be glorified. Isn't it amazing? 600 and some years before Jesus came, that he acknowledged and knew we're going to have broken hearts. That we're going to need healing for the hearts that are broken. Because of one three-letter word, and it's called sin. And tonight, if your heart is broken, I beg of you this evening that you would come to the healer, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and find healing, and find peace, and find hope, and find rest in him. He said, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses. His acts and children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not dealt with us according to our sins. Oh, can you say amen? Amen. No rewarded us according to our iniquities. If he did, we wouldn't be here this evening. And he goes on, he says in verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that what? There it is again. Last night we quoted a lot of different scriptures about fearing the Lord. That we need to have the holy fear of God planted in our lives again. I believe it's an element that is missing in our nation, in our churches today. In the book of Acts chapter 2, it says the fear of God fell on every person. And when they did that, God ministered and God moved through the power of the Holy Spirit. As far as East is from the West, so far as removed the transgressions from us. Praise God. May I add to that, not to remember them against us anymore. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that what? There it is again. Them that fear him. Do you fear God tonight? Can you give a wave offering if you fear God? What does it mean to fear? To reverence him, to honor him, to respect him, to stand in awe of him, to fear God. He goes on to say here, as for man, verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, that he remember that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, a flower of the field he flourisheth. The wind passes over it and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting and everlasting about all of them that what? Amazing. To all them that fear him. I don't know exactly how many scriptures in the Bible, how many different scriptures refer to the reference of fearing God. He said, my mercy is upon those that fear me from everlasting to everlasting. And his righteousness unto children's children, to them that keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to what? To do them. To do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven. And his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength. Do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, O ye saints, ye ministers of his. Do his good pleasure. How many ministers of the gospel are here this evening? Raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Hey, you know what? Every one of us are ministers. You know what? It says in Corinthians that we are all ministers of reconciliation. He has for all of us, he's given us that task. He's anointed us for that. that we are ministers of reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? He said, we are ambassadors for Christ. He said, now you are ministers of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciling sinful man to a holy God. We are born in sin. We're separated from God. Jesus Christ came in the middle. Now we as sinners can have peace with God through who? Through Jesus Christ. That is the message of reconciliation. And he said, you're an ambassador. It doesn't matter what your vocation. Somebody said, if you are intentional about sharing Christ in your vocation, it has little to do with your location. Let me say it again. If you're intentional about sharing Christ in your vocation, it has little to do with your location. Because no matter where you're located, you're going to be intentional about sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. What a challenge to our lives. He goes on in the final part of the scripture. Bless the Lord. All his works, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Think about it here tonight. And I want to focus on, in fact, turn with me to Luke chapter 20, chapter 21, if you will. Luke chapter 21. You that have the little testaments, you can go to the book of Luke. Some of the children have the little red New Testaments, and you can look at those here this evening if you'd like to follow along tonight. Here in the scriptures. But I think tonight what God wants to do in each one of our lives, God is calling us. I believe with all my heart, God is calling us to greater works. He's calling us to greater purpose, to greater vision, to greater fruitfulness. And, you know, tonight I want to say again, if you feel trapped in helplessness or hopelessness or tormented by the strongholds of the enemy that are in your soul, tonight, Jesus Christ wants to come in and he wants to free us again with his precious blood. I'm thankful to know that Jesus Christ can reach down to the vilest offender, the greatest pretender, and he can clean us. It says, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. All possible by the power of God through the resurrection power of the cross for you and for me. So I'm thinking about that fear today. I'm like, you know what? There's a scripture somewhere. There's a scripture that speaks about in the end times that there is a fear, but is a different fear. It is a fearful that people become, that live, they live in fear. It is not the fear of God. Here in 21, Luke 21, I'd like to read in this passage. In fact, Deborah has it on the screen for us here tonight. And in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, and again, here is, this is talking about the second coming. Before Christ comes to take his church home to be with him. And here's what he's speaking about, verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves there are roaring. Men's hearts, here it is, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Failing them for fear. Is it any wonder? I believe that we are in the last days today. And men's hearts are failing them because of fear. Fear of the future. Fear of the past. Fear of what might happen. There's a fear for the looking after those things which are coming on earth. What is going to happen? Look at the things that are going on around the world. It says, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I want to tell us tonight, if the powers of heaven are going to be shaken, then I believe the powers of hell are going to be shaken. Jesus Christ is shaking those powers. Because I'm telling you, friend, here this evening, we have power because of the Trinity. You and I can be on the offensive here this evening. Can the church say amen? Amen. And it says, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He said, when you see these things happen. Now, Matthew 24, it has a greater description of all the different things at the end times that are going to be happening. Here it's condensed a little bit more. But he said, when these things happen, look up, our redemption draweth nigh. It's not far away when the Lord is going to return. And I want to go on in verse 29. He spake to them a parable saying about the fig tree and all the trees. And he said, now shoot forth. Now they shoot forth. You see and know your own selves in summer is now at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. And by the way, that kingdom of God, also the kingdom of God, is what lives inside of you and me. You and I have the kingdom of God within us because Christ lives in me and you for children of God here this evening. So likewise, verse 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart should be overcharged with surfeiting or the worldly things. And it goes on to say, with drunkenness and the cares of life. The Bible said in one place, Jesus said, it's going to be the cares of life that choke out the Word of God. Getting consumed with the cares of life, all the different things that are going on all over the world and around us, and forgetting the Word of God. And so that day come upon you, so that day come upon you unawares. He said, if we're not careful, that day will come upon us unaware. We will not realize, and all of a sudden, there it is. He said, take heed to yourself, lest any time your hearts, let's go verse 35. For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man, to stand before Him. I am thankful here this evening that there is hope. He said, we need to be aware and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and stand against the wiles of the enemy. I'm thankful tonight. Friend, I'm glad the good news this evening. There's a couple scriptures I want to turn to give us hope and help here this evening. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1, it says God has not given us the spirit of, but of what? Power and what? And what else? Paul said, therefore be not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor of me, his prisoner. Hey, the beautiful rain is coming down. You may find a spot out here somewhere, depending where you're sitting, where it may drip on you, but if you need to move, then you need to move. But I thank God for the rain of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for what we've been experiencing here by the power of God, and I thank him for that here this evening. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, would you turn there with me tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, how do we overcome? We overcome the enemy. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And let me get in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? To the pulling down of strongholds. Those strongholds are lies of the enemy that he speaks to us. That brings distress, that brings depression, that brings hopelessness. All kinds of things happen when we believe the lies of the enemy. But he said the weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations, bringing every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He said to bring every thought into captivity. Friend, tonight, then maybe there's lies that you believe that have caught you in a trap here this evening. Maybe you feel hopeless or helpless. Maybe you're trapped in the works of darkness here this evening. I got news for you. The Bible says we have the power in the mighty name of Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus and the resurrection power to pull down every stronghold and casting down the imaginations that go against the will of God. What is he saying? Those things that maybe people say or the enemy says to us, check it out with the Word of God. Check it with the Word of God. Does it match the Scripture? Some of you are sitting here tonight. There's things that the enemy wants you to believe, but it's bringing into a trap or into bondage here this evening. But he said, we have the power in the name of Jesus to bring down every stronghold in the name of Jesus for his honor and for his glory and to be able to walk in newness of life. Turn with me to the right, if you will, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I like to read a bit from that passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. I know these are familiar scriptures tonight. But friend, you and I need to know how to wrestle against the enemy. We need to know how to walk in victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. How that we can have victory, not only ourselves, but how that we can help other people to come free and walk in victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The snare of the enemy is to entrap us, to enslave us, so that the joy of the Lord is not our strength. That's the trap of the enemy. But Jesus said, I've come to set you free. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. In fact, I'll begin verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. David's been sharing also about that this last week. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers of darkness, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So many times when different things are happening in our lives, we look at people. This person has done, this person has come against me. Maybe words that are spoken and so forth. Or even, you know, the Bible says the tongue. Life and death flows in the tongue, in the power of the tongue. Some of you are sitting here tonight and people have spoken ill to you, or you're dumb, you're stupid, you're crazy, you never amount to anything, you can't do anything right, you're fat, you're ugly, you're so-and-so. Or I wish you'd never even been in my family. There's all kinds of words that are spoken, and those words go into the innermost part of our soul. It affects our mind, it affects our will, it affects our emotions, you see. And so we have to think about it. When those things are spoken or words are said to us, who said that? I can tell you tonight, Jesus Christ is not going to share those things. He will say, I love you. I care about you. You are beautiful. I created you in my image for His glory and for His honor. Give Him a clap offering of praise tonight. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. He is for us. He wants to speak truth and life into us so that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, when Jesus came and Peter, when they were there in the garden and they came to get Jesus, Peter takes out his sword and he says that he takes out his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus and the ear drops down. And of course, we know in one of the scriptures it says Jesus put that ear back on. He just put it back on again on him. And then Jesus said to Peter, put that sword away. He said, I need to do the will of God. I need to drink it. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me? Peter saw people. Jesus saw a cup. Sometimes the things that we are handed in life, God permits. In fact, God has a permissive will and He has a perfect will. God's perfect will is that we get saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, walk in newness of life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and someday come home to live with Him in heaven. That's His perfect will. His permissive will. It's probably everything else. He permits things that we don't understand. We don't understand. But some of the cups that we're handed, we got to be careful, because maybe we see people, you, why did you do this? Why did you say this? This offended me. This hurt me. And the pain of rejection and woundedness in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. But sometimes it's a cup that God has allowed. But you know, sometimes He does it through individuals. Now there's physical cups that sometimes God permits, and illnesses and sicknesses and so forth. The other night, Rick was speaking about that. Rick Rhodes, that some of the sicknesses are unto death, but then sometimes God chooses to bring healing into our lives, into our bodies. There's things like that we don't understand, the cups that we are handed in life. But we have to understand that God, if it's a cup that God is permitting, that He will give us strength and power to be overcomers with that also. So He says here, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of dark, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take you unto yourself the armor of God, that you're able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and have on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace. He's talking about the armor of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then finally, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He's talking about putting on the armor of God, the power of God inside of us. But he's going through the different steps of the armor that they would wear and illustrating how do we put those on to protect our thoughts, the helmet of salvation, that we know that we're saved, that we're born again, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the shield of faith, that our faith will not waver. Last night we were sharing about, I think it was last evening or Sunday evening, we were sharing about how that Peter, when Jesus was there in Luke 22, and he said, Peter, Satan wants to have you, to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you. But he said, I prayed for you that your what? Say it again. That your faith. He said, I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. He knew Peter was going to fail. You and I fail. You and I fail. He said, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith does not fail. What did he say next? And after you've been converted, he said, I'm going to use you to strengthen the brethren. That is amazing. Peter had no idea what Jesus was talking about, really. And he said, I pray that your faith doesn't fail. And then what Brother Lester was sharing here this evening, how that Peter failed, and before the cock crowed, he denied that he knew Jesus Christ. I don't even know him. He denied him that he even knew Jesus Christ. And we were sharing this evening how that, or Sunday night, how that Peter, how that there in the garden, the last time he denied him, how that Jesus looked over at Peter. And it said Peter was crushed. He was broken. He had failed Jesus. And it says he ran and he wept bitterly. He became broken in heart. Friend, I got news for you. If he went out, in fact, he went and he was broken, and then he repented. Jesus, all through the scriptures, is using the, when you go to the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, there is person after person after person that failed God, but God restored them because they repented. You talk about harlot, the Rahab harlot. You talk about King David. You can go on down the line with many of them. I tell you, friend, tonight, God uses people who fail because there are no other kind, because we've all failed and come short of the glory of God. Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. But God, if we repent, if we come and we say, God, I have failed you, I've done wrong, I have sinned, and we repent. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of will, a change of direction. We were going this way, but now we turn around and go this way. That is a heart of repentance. Jesus said, I would. The Bible says he would that everybody repent, that all come to repentance, that nobody perish. It's not the will of God that anybody go to hell. I'll say it again tonight. Hell was not made for you, and you and I were not made for hell. Hell is a choice that people make. God doesn't want anybody to go there. He wants everybody to be saved. He said it's his will that nobody perish, but that all come to repentance. What about you this evening? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Is your name in the book of life? Maybe you've been told you've failed, you've crossed the line, you've gone too far. That's a lie from the enemy. Or God cannot make me into his image. And you know what? I can just never do this. I can just never be right. I can just not be a child of God or be in the will of God. I just don't have what it takes. Friend, you and I don't. But Jesus Christ puts within us what we don't have. Somebody said it takes Jesus Christ to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make him holy and put him back into an unholy world and keep him holy. It takes the power of God to do that. We're not able to do that ourselves. But what happens with Peter? I just want to encourage you tonight, no matter who you are sitting here this evening, maybe you're going to thoughts and you fail and you say there's not really hope or you can never attain what God has for you. With Jesus Christ we can, only through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does he do? He takes Peter once Jesus goes to the cross and comes out of that grave. What does he do? He goes back to Peter and he restores Peter back, and John again. He restores him back into a right relationship. And then he says to Peter, go feed my lambs, go feed my sheep. And then Peter was absolutely amazed. I think he was afraid that morning when he was along the seashore. Jesus saw them out there fishing, and he speaks to them, and then he says, come on in here. I like to think Jesus was making breakfast for failures. Why? Because they all forsook him. Bible says in Matthew, they all forsook him. We just think of Peter. They all forsook him. They all said, let's hang it up. He's dead. Never see him again. It says they all forsook him. They all left. So that morning when Jesus was there making the fish for them and making them breakfast, I'm sure that the disciples were like, oh no, what's he going to say? He's going to scold us. Why did you do that? Peter, they're in the garden. I told you, you're going to fail. I told you, you're going to deny me. That's not Jesus. Maybe we have a tendency to do like some of those kind of things in carnality or point our finger or to accuse, but Jesus will not do that. He will not do that to you or to me, to anybody here tonight. He will love you. He will accept you. He will forgive you. When we repent, he restores us back into a right relationship. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. He does it for any one of us. It doesn't matter who you are here tonight. Jesus loves you. And he creates in us a clean heart when we come to him. What does he do? is that I restore you back in right relationship. What happens in the book of Acts in chapter 2? Who is the one? It is not Paul. It is not John. Who is the one that gets the privilege to preach the gospel for the first time to the church in the book of Acts? Who is it? Peter, he preaches fearlessly. He preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preaches so fearlessly with the power of God that when it gets to the end, they're like, what shall we do? He said, do what I did. He didn't say it that way, but he said to repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. How many? 3,000 that gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that confessed and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that tonight to give hope to every one of us here this evening. Because some of you may sit here tonight and look at some of your background and things you've gone through. I said last night, I said, would you want a movie made of your life? And I think I'm sure everybody would say, I never want a movie made of mine. What I'm saying is, would you want a movie made of your life? Everything you've said, everything you've done, every thought that you've had, even the thoughts you've had of things you're going to do, but you didn't do it, but it was thoughts that were against the will of God. None of us would want a movie made of our life and have other people see it. But I tell you, friend, this evening there's somebody who saw that movie, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And in spite of what he saw, Stanley, he still says, I love you. I am for you. Come unto me. I want to cleanse you. I want to save you. I want to restore you, and I will use you to the glory of God. Give him glory and praise tonight. It doesn't matter who you are. There is hope for you. You that are watching by live stream, or you're listening to a phone tonight, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. Jesus Christ loves you. He cares about you. He wants to save you. He wants to restore you if you're not walking in holiness before the Lord. That's what he wants to do. I want to turn also this evening and to Psalm 24. I know I'm going back and forth. Psalm 24. If you would turn to that scripture with me here this evening. In Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, in that scripture where it speaks about standing before the Lord, or who will be the one that is able to do that. Psalm 24, you have your Bibles with you here this evening. In Psalm 24, Psalm 24, it says here, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, established it on the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in the holy place? Dave last week was ministering night after night on the presence of God and entering into the holy of holies. This scripture says, who will be able to enter the holy of holies? Who will stand in the presence of God? Who are those people? Look at it. It says in the next verse of scripture, in verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. The righteousness from God is salvation. Friend, this evening God is looking for those that have clean hands and a clean heart and a pure heart. Friend, if your heart and your hands are not pure this evening, I beg of you, when the opportunity is given, you would come to Jesus Christ, the Savior, and let his blood cleanse. The Bible says, from all unrighteousness. What does it say next? Who has not lifted up his soul or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of those that seek him, that seek the face, thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. This is what has to happen if we're going to enter into the Holy of Holies and enjoy the worship and the presence of God, is that our hands and our hearts are pure before the Lord. The Bible says, from within out of the heart proceeds evil thought, murders, lust, covetousness, lasciviousness. All these evil things comes out of the heart and defiles us. That's why he speaks about having a clean heart. Jesus is the one that cleanses us. It go on in the next verse of scripture. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I tell you, friend, here this evening, God wants to build walls and raise up standards of righteousness and holiness. He wants to build bridges of love. He wants to make highways of holiness for each one of us to walk therein. That is the perfect will of God. And it's only possible through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to fill our hearts with love, with hope, with His truth, to come against the battle and the wiles of the enemy. That's what Jesus Christ wants to do for each one of us here this evening. My thoughts go tonight of a story of Randy in Missouri. And I tell you, friend, this evening, I'm excited to know tonight that the power of God, again, it doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter how far we've gone, that Jesus can lift us out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a solid rock and establish our goings and put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God for the glory of God. My mind goes to, by the way, I hear babies here tonight, eh? Reminded of a story. So many children that are here this evening. Sometimes when the babies are crying, we as parents sit out there, or the parents sit there, and they're like, they're disturbing everybody, and I wonder what's going to happen next. Everybody's looking our way and all that. But it reminds me of being in a prison years ago. Speaking of prison, which I want to share the story, but being in a prison and girls were small. I don't know which one of the girls was the baby. But all I know is we were in that prison. It was time for me to preach. I got up and I started preaching. And the baby was back there crying. And Sarah was trying to keep the baby quiet. The baby was crying. And I was thinking, you know what? I know that baby is disturbing all of these prisoners. Really, the baby was disturbing me. I couldn't keep my thoughts together anymore. And I'm like, oh, I can't even focus. I can't concentrate. And so I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll just stop for a moment and I'll just open up for testimonies. That's pretty common in a prison. Open up for testimonies and see what God has. So I just stopped about 10 minutes into the message and I said, gentlemen, I'd like to open up for testimonies tonight. Maybe God is laying something on your heart, something God has done in your life. And when I did that, the first man that got up, he jumped up to his feet and he said, oh, he said, we've been praying for a long time to hear the voice of a baby. And tonight we heard a baby cry here. It's an answer to our prayers. All I can tell you, friend, tonight is God chasing me. I couldn't even look toward him. I had to look the other way because my heart was broken. These men, it was an answer to their prayer, but it was an irritation to me. After he was done, I had to look out at them and I said, gentlemen, I need to tell you something. That was an irritation to me. And I couldn't focus or concentrate, but to you it was an answer to your prayers. I'm sorry. I want to just tell you tonight, friends, you that have babies and children here this evening, count your blessings. Thank God here tonight that you have children that are with you this evening that are here tonight. Give God glory for all the children that are here this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was in the Missouri State Penitentiary. And there in that penitentiary, I remember on the second stage of that catwalk. And I remember standing there and there were a number of volunteers that were floating around. And I remember walking up to a cell there and I began to talk to a man. And first of all, when I walked up to the cell, I saw something that just terrified my heart. And I saw that there were pictures all over the walls of pornography and filth and garbage. And this man had long hair and just strangly looking. And when I looked at him, it was just like evil. And I remember just walking. I don't want to go there. I'm going to go to the next cell. But the Lord seemed to say, no, you need to go back there. And we're going back there. And I looked at this man. The man came up, kind of up to the cell. And I said to him, what's your name? He didn't want to say. He just had his hands down to his side. And I said, can I talk to you? And as I looked into his eyes, I just saw evil. And all around his cell, I couldn't even look because it was so horrible what he had all over the walls. And then as I began to share with him a little bit, I said, what's your name? And then not just in a little bit, he said what his name was. His name is Randy. And he said, what do you want? I was going to say nothing. Because I was scared. I'm going to tell you, I was scared. There was just evil. The presence of evil was there. And he said, what do you want? And I said, Randy, I want to just tell you about the Lord. He said, I don't want to hear your religion. I don't want to hear about religion. He said, I don't want to hear about it. He said, I want to tell you, I've done it all. I've done everything in the drugs and alcohol, sexual immorality, all those kind of things. And he said, my dad is a state trooper. And my daddy doesn't care about me. He doesn't care that I'm in jail here. I could care less. I don't want to hear about your religion. He said, I'll tell you what. I want to tell you, sir. He said, one night we were out and we were high on whatever, meth and so forth. And he said, not only that, but he said, we were involved in cannibalism. Now, some of you know what that is here tonight. That is eating of the human flesh. And he said, we were involved in that kind of stuff. And he said, the guys I was with, he said, I was kind of scared what we were doing. And I want to tell you something. We went down the road. He said, I went down the road and there was a little church house. And I went and I walked in. They were having church. And I went in and I told the preacher of that church that I just want to get help. I want someone to talk to. I told him what was happening. And I just wanted to talk to him. You know what he did? He called the cops. I don't want your religion. God broke my heart. I said, Randy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because I tell you, friend, this evening, what God wanted that preacher to do is take Randy into an old-fashioned altar and lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he'd be cleansed of all unrighteousness. But instead, he called the law. And I'm angry. Now Randy is there and he's angry. And he said, I don't want to hear the religion. God began to break my heart. I began to weep. And I said, Randy, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Christianity. And I told him this many years ago, Jesus Christ came into my life. He changed me from the old into the new. He took away the things that I used to do. If it wouldn't be for that, I wouldn't be standing in front of you here today. And I said, Randy, God loves you. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He sent me here today to tell you that he loves you. He just stood there and he looked at me. And he said, before I said that, all the satanic worship, I've been involved in all the witchcraft and all the Satan worship. And I could see, by the way, the books and magazines that were laying on the floor and all the pictures and so forth. And I said, Randy, Jesus loves you. He wants to forgive you. He has a plan for your life. But he can only begin his plan when you come to him and you give your life to him. He has a beautiful, I'm so sorry what has happened to you. Jesus cares about you. He loves you so much. And as I stood in front of him, my heart was broken for him. And as I stood there, by the way, I want to share this. The Lord reminded me to share this. I spoke about his long hair. Some years ago, we were doing a singing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with some other groups. As we were having that service, that singing, we were up front and we sang, and then I went back. I may have to use the other microphone, I'm not sure. Instead of stretching my voice. Then I got wet. Can you give me a regular microphone? Thank God for the rain. I feel sorry for Sam because of the property out here. I don't understand, Sam. Where are you? There he is. But hopefully the Lord will get us out here. Let me do this quickly and get us out of here tonight. But in that singspiration, we were up front, and after we got done singing, I went back to the foyer of this building, and I was there, and I saw this man that he had long hair and maybe down over his shoulders and had earrings and so forth. And, you know, my thought was, I looked at him and I thought, wow, I wonder why he's here in the singspiration and so forth. I hadn't very long more than thought about that. Here comes this man walking over to our table. And he comes over and he says, Mr. Koblenz, thank you so much for singing tonight. God was speaking to my heart. I just want to come and can I pray for you? Woo! Conviction set all over me because I was judging this man that had the long hair. And God spoke to me and helped me to understand that he is no respecter of persons and I need to be careful. God blessed me with this man and his presence and wanting to pray, and prayed a beautiful prayer. But let me get back to Randy. Randy was standing there, and as I looked at him and he was looking at me, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord asked me to do something that I don't know if I ever asked a man to do in prison before. All of a sudden, in fact, before that even, anyhow, so he looked at me and I looked at him, and I said, Randy, if you get on your knees on the inside, I'll get on my knees on the outside. I'd never really asked a man to do that in that way before. And it was those bars, and it wasn't something you couldn't see. He was just right there. And lo and behold, he surprised me, and he got on his knees. And when he got on his knees, I got down on my knees as he was right there in front of me, and I said, Randy, I just want to ask if you can pray. I'm going to pray for you. But then I want you to pray. I just want you to pray. I believe the Lord has asked me to pray. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, to pray. And I just had a brief prayer for Randy that he would be able to pray and have that freedom. And Randy begins and he goes and he starts to pray all, and he couldn't speak. He tried to talk, but he couldn't talk. I remember looking down the hallway where other men were working, and I thought, I'm going to need to go get somebody else and come help. I don't really know what to do right here. And the Lord began to speak to me as Randy was trying to talk, and the Lord began to speak to me in my spirit. Just pray for him in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. I began to pray for him. Oh, God, I pray for Randy. I plead your blood on him. Oh, Jesus, that you may set him free and loose his tongue, that he's able to speak, that he's able to pray. And all of a sudden, Randy started praying. I wish you could have heard him pray. He began to pray and confess all of the wickedness and all of the sins. He just began to pray and pray, and he was just weeping before the Lord. God was doing a marvelous work in his life. And after he was done praying, I put my hand through the bars. And I began to pray for Randy. I prayed that God would continue to draw him to his bosom, and they fill him with the Holy Spirit, that he could walk in newness of life. And after I got done praying, I stood up, and Randy stood up. I didn't say a word to him, but Randy began to walk around that cell, and he began to peel all the filth and the garbage off the walls, and he began to throw it outside, throw it outside, throw it outside. He went and got the books and magazines he had, and he threw the books and magazines outside. And as he was doing this, he said, Mr. Goldman, I've never felt anything like this in my life. I said, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. He has filled you. He has cleansed you. Hallelujah. And he threw all of those things outside. And I went and got some things, and I replaced it. By the way, I would encourage you here this evening, when you get rid of something that is not of God, replace it with things that are good, honest, and holy before the Lord. I gave him these things, and I said, Randy, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Jesus lives in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we had prayer and some fellowship together. Went and got some of the other men that we're working with, and I said, come meet Randy. This is the new Randy Miles. He's our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. I remember leaving that cell block, and a couple years later, we were in the prison chapel. This was in lockup, but we were in the prison chapel of that same prison. We were up front, and we were singing and sharing the gospel, and I noticed there's somebody back there. In fact, I should say this. After we left that prison, Randy would write. He would say, Mr. Colvin, it's been long, this long since I had a cigarette, this long since I've been in pornography, this long since I've been in this long that. Keep praying for me. Keep praying for me. Then I noticed his hair were getting a little bit shorter and so forth, because he sent me a couple pictures what he was looking like. And I'm like, God has got a hold of his life. Whether the hair are long or short, God had a hold of his life. A couple years later, we were in that prison. We were in the prison chapel, and we were singing and sharing. I noticed over to my left, there's somebody sitting down here, just like all smiles, just grinning. And I'm like, evidently the person has seen us before, knows who we are, whatever. And when the service was over, up comes this young man to me and says, Nelson, do you know who I am? I said, sir, I'm sorry. But we see a lot of people as we travel and we go different places. I'm sorry, I don't remember who you are. He said, I'm Randy Miles. I'm the one in ST lockup on the second floor. Oh, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. This man, that had given his life to Christ out of lockup, and now he was one of the model prisoners there. For the Lord Jesus Christ, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked at him. I said, Randy, you're worth every mile of the miles we've ever traveled to see the brand new Randy Miles and to see you here in person, the new Randy Miles and the Lord Jesus. I'm friend, I want to tell you this evening, I'll say it again. Jesus Christ takes the vilest offender, the greatest pretender, whoever we are, and he changes us into his creation for his honor and for his glory. He makes beauty out of the ashes of sin. He brings the oil of joy where there's heaviness and where there's grief and sorrow. The trees of righteousness. I want to encourage you, friend, here this evening. In fact, I want to turn to Romans chapter 13 in closing here tonight. In Romans chapter 13. In a little bit, we're going to be having an invitation here this evening. And if God is speaking to your heart tonight, I beg of you that you would come tonight, whether it's coming tonight because there's something in your life that the Lord has spoken to you about, that you want to be set free, you want to be unshackled, you want to be loosed from. If it's that, or tonight, if God is speaking to you because the well of living water has not been flowing, because maybe you don't have that hunger and that thirst for righteousness, things have been a little bit dry, then I beg you to come this evening and say, Jesus, take me to that well of living water. Open up that, like old Hallelujah Irvin used to say, the spout where the glory runs out. Hallelujah, to drink the living water. But maybe that's you this evening. I don't know what you're facing tonight, where you're at this evening in your joy for the Lord, your walk with the Lord. But maybe God is speaking to you and you're saying, you know what? It's dry in my life. Maybe the joy has withered away in your life. And tonight you want to come and you want to say, Lord, restore the joy. David said in Psalm 51, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, bring that joy. Give joy tonight. Is the joy of Jesus in your soul this evening? And if not, Jesus says, come to me. He said, come to me. And there in John 7, 37, 38, where it says he stood and he cried with a loud voice. He said, he that is athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. He said, out of your innermost being will flow not a river, but rivers of life-giving water. Friend, I want to ask you this evening, are you thirsty for Jesus Christ? Do you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? He said in Matthew 5, 6, he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know what it says in the book of Luke, in that same Beatitudes? He said, woe unto them that are full and have no need of God to flow. He said, woe unto them that are full. What about you here this evening? In Romans chapter 13, I'd like to close with this passage of scripture here tonight. In Romans 13 and verse 11, it said, in that knowing the time now is high time to awake out of the sleep, and now our salvation is near when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, and chambering, and wantonness, and strife, and envy. But look what he says in verse 14. But he says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Friend, I want to beg of you this evening, if God is speaking to your heart and there's things of the flesh that are fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The Bible says the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These things are not of God, they're of the world. The world's going to pass away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven shall abide forever. I want to encourage you tonight, there's hope for every person. It doesn't matter who you are. If there is some stronghold, something in your life here this evening, let's claim the God-given authority in the name through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to destroy, to cast down the strongholds. Maybe it's fear, worry, anger, depression, hopelessness, lies, false accusations, whatever it may be. The verses we read earlier, taking those things and even the imaginations into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Don't let the devil have a stronghold on any area of your life, but bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, casting off the works of darkness and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his holiness, that we walk and live in the fear of God. I want us to stand together this evening.